Sanctions have been imposed on three senior North Korean officials and three groups for being responsible for serious human rights abuses or censorship. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more on the story.
The sanctions are intended to call attention to the human rights abuses in North Korea that are among the worst in the world. They include killings, forced labor, torture, prolonged arbitrary detention, rape, forced abortions, and other sexual violence. The report that was issued by the U.S. Department of the Treasury also included the regime's efforts to suppress all independent media or any form of freedom of expression. I'm John Clemens.
Jimmy Dean is issuing a warning over its frozen pork and poultry sausage. Nearly 30 pounds of it are being recalled over user complaints of metal pieces found in the sausages. The Department of Ag is saying the recall includes Jimmy Dean Heat and Serve original sausage links made with pork and turkey, with a use-by date of January 31st, 2019. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Look, you've heard me talking for a year about how much I love MyPillow. You can get one, too. And now it's a better deal than ever. You go to MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One Free special, use promo code USA. You'll get one free pillow when you buy one at regular price plus shipping. And don't forget, now you have until March 1st to return it if you're not absolutely in love with it. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. But do it now.
North Carolina Congressman Republican Mark Meadows may be on President Trump's list of candidates under consideration to replace John Kelly as White House Chief of Staff. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky reports.
You know, it's not been anything that I've been out advocating for. My life changed over the last 24 hours when Nick Ayers decided not to do it, and there was a story out there that I was on a list. I can't say this. It's going to be the president's decision.
You're listening to North Carolina Congressman Republican Mark Meadows, a guest on The Story with Martha McCallum on Fox News. He's asked if he's been contacted by President Trump to be the new chief of staff as the president weighs his options to replace John Kelly, who's leaving at the end of the year.
It's going to be one that he gets to pick from a lot of well-qualified candidates. And at the end of the day, it's who's going to serve him best and serve this country best. And so right now, I've got a great job in representing the people of Western North Carolina. I'm going to continue to do that. And yet, at the same time, there needs to be someone to support this president and making sure that we indeed make America great again.
The central and eastern United States is likely to get pounded with more snow and rain. A new storm system is developing over that part of the country and is forecast to linger over the rest of the week. Heavy rain and thunderstorms will likely affect some parts of the south, and areas from the lower Mississippi Valley to the Ohio Valley could get up to an inch or more of rain. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! We're talking about the attack on Pearl Harbor today. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50-caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
What's up? You mean, what's long? 65 feet long, to be exact, Colonel. That's the length of the Johnsonville Big Taste Grill that was hauled in on its custom semi-pulled trailer for the Army-Navy game this weekend at Lincoln Financial Field in South Philly. The Big Taste Grill is actually a converted tanker semi, which sports a 40-square-foot grilling surface, good for cooking 750 bratwurst at a time, which equates to 2,500 brats an hour. The best part is, this year it's being used to raise money for the troops and Nine Line Foundation, specifically for the Veterans Village Project in Savannah, Georgia. Now, I saw this behemoth a year and a half ago at a NASCAR race in Charlotte, and it is a sight to behold. If you'd like to see the photos and a video, go to facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Good to hear, Josh. We'll hear from Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby when he shares some warrant wisdom, and Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking armed and ready. What's going on, Skip?
Well, I just finished a successful deer season, and I am armed and ready. Got a class Saturday. We are getting ready to go out into the cold for 3 hours and throw a lot of lead downrange.
Okay. Here's hoping that you don't have too much of that white stuff falling on you while you're doing it. Of course, in real world, that can be happening, can't it?
Absolutely, yeah. You can't time it so that the bad guys only attack in 70-degree weather.
If you could, you could make an awful lot of money.
Yes, you could.
Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss the attack on Pearl Harbor that brought us into World War II and the parallels to what's happening in the world today. Terrorism remains a hot topic in the world today, and Dave Horowitz will discuss how some American colleges are advocating terrorism today. Then Dr. Jeff Wilson will discuss his book, War Torn, and then I'll shoot the bull with former Air Force intelligence guy Jason Mulder. And we'll discuss the book on Army's great women's basketball coach, Maggie Dixon, with my West Point classmate Jack Grubbs. This book is really about leadership.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter.
Troops, as you know, we now honor one deceased military person, not superstars, but the average soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or coastie, on each show. These vets don't have to have served in combat, but have to have served honorably on active duty, guard, or reserve. To nominate someone, send me about 250 words summarizing his or her service. I have some vets to honor, but I need more. Please send that information to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. We welcome your input to this show, so send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First the news. What's first, Josh?
President Trump says he canceled a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin, citing Russia's seizure of Ukrainian Navy vessels. Trump was to meet with Putin at the G20 summit in Argentina. Trump says, quote, "Based on the fact that the ships and sailors have not been returned to Ukraine from Russia, I have decided it would be best for all parties concerned to cancel my previously scheduled meeting in Argentina with President Vladimir Putin. I look forward to a meaningful summit again as soon as this situation is resolved." End quote. Russia recently seized 3 Ukrainian vessels and their crews. Russia said Ukraine didn't have permission to pass between Russia's mainland and the Crimean Peninsula. Ukraine insisted its vessels were abiding by maritime laws.
Putin is clearly a dictator looking to grow his empire, and he's willing to use force to do so. I expect that this seizure of ships will be used as an excuse to invade Ukraine. We can't let him act this viciously without responding.
China says it has expressed concerns to the U.S. over the passage of a pair of Navy warships through the Taiwan Strait, days ahead of a planned meeting between President Trump and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping. Foreign Ministry spokesman Geng Shuang told reporters that Taiwan was the most important and sensitive issue in relations between the sides, adding, quote, "The Taiwan issue has a bearing on China's sovereignty and territorial integrity. It is the most important and sensitive issue in China-U.S. ties," end quote. China's defense ministry also said it had closely followed the warship's passage. The late November passage involved the guided missile destroyer USS Stockdale and the USNS Pecos. It marked at least the third time this year that the Navy has sailed through the strait that separates Taiwan from mainland China. U.S. Navy Commander Nate Christensen, spokesman for U.S. Pacific Fleet, said the transit was routine and, quote, "demonstrates the U.S. commitment to a free and open Indo-Pacific. The U.S. Navy will continue to fly, sail, and operate anywhere international law allows," end quote. The 100-mile waterway is split down the middle between Taiwan and China, but there is no international law restricting civilian or military shipping from passing through it. Tensions between the two militaries have been high, over U.S. challenges to China's claim to sovereignty over virtually the entire South China Sea. In late September, a Chinese destroyer came close to colliding with the destroyer USS Decatur in the South China Sea in what our Navy called an unsafe and unprofessional maneuver. Despite that, contacts between the sides have endured, and China gave permission last week for the aircraft carrier USS Ronald Reagan to dock in Hong Kong.
China's economy is second only to ours in the world, and they're building their military and seeking to expand their control over territory beyond their borders. President Trump's tariffs is putting a strain on them as they were intended to do. Indeed, we'll discuss those tariffs on next week's show.
Iranian State TV reports Iran's Navy has acquired two new mini-submarines designed for operations in shallow waters, such as the Persian Gulf. The report said one of the mini-submarines, also known as midget submarines, was dubbed Ghadir 955 and was built in 18 months. The other, a previously built Ghadir 942, took 10 months to overhaul. The subs have sonar-evading technology and can launch missiles from underwater, as well as fire torpedoes and drop marine mines. Iran began manufacturing Ghadir subs in 2005. The first was unveiled in 2007, and by 2012, five such subs were incorporated into Iran's Navy. Midget submarines weigh less than 150 metric tons and are used for short missions by a crew of nine, without living accommodations. Iranian State TV broadcast footage of the inauguration of one of the subs in the southern port of Bandar Abbas, at the mouth of the strategic Strait of Hormuz, the passageway for nearly a third of the world's oil traded by sea. Iran does not disclose the total number of submarines in its fleet. However, it is believed to have some 12 light and three Russian-made submarines. The announcement of the new underwater asset is likely intended to boost Iran's military image amid rising tensions with the U.S., which in November reimposed all sanctions lifted under the 2015 nuclear deal between Iran and world powers. The Trump administration pulled America out of that deal back in May.
Iran is the world's leading supporter of terrorism, especially in the Mideast. Nice talk hasn't worked with them. Like most dictatorships, they seem only to understand power. I'm glad that's how we're dealing with them now.
The longtime president of a veterans charity co-founded by Representative Duncan Hunter of California was convicted by a federal jury in Washington, D.C. of spending money meant for the charity on jewelry, shopping, and other personal expenses. Patricia Driscoll, age 40, of Maryland, was found guilty on two counts each of wire fraud and tax evasion and one count of first-degree fraud, according to an announcement by U.S. Attorney Jesse Liu. She remains free on her own recognizance and is due to be sentenced in March. She faces decades in prison. Driscoll resigned her position at the helm of the Armed Forces Foundation in July 2015, after 12 years of service, amid a scandal involving what the nonprofit alleged was Driscoll's misuse of funds. The charity was established in 2001 to promote veterans' emotional and physical health through outdoor activities and small grants to help needy military families pay bills. On its 2015 federal tax filing, it disclosed that it had found evidence that Driscoll had misspent more than $900,000 for personal purposes, starting in 2006. The foundation reported about $44 million in revenue during those years, according to public tax records.
And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk about American college professors advocating terrorism with David Horowitz. At ease, troops, take a break. As a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash is proud to work with DECA to offer high-quality products, honest value, and consistency you can trust.
Home-based products cover all of your pantry essentials, from tissue paper to reusable containers, offering you quality you expect and savings you deserve.
Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your home defense tip of the week. Always keep your guns locked up and safe from unauthorized users, especially your children. Inside your home, you should be able to get to your gun within 5 seconds of sensing danger. To accomplish this, stage a secure and loaded firearm on each level of your home. Above all else, never leave loaded guns unattended where children can gain access. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
If you're a baby boomer with $100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. As an added bonus, our retirement income kit, full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with $100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. It is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. My topic today is the attack on Pearl Harbor on 7 December 1941 that brought us into World War II, and what we might learn from it today. World War II in Europe began September 1939, but most Americans had no desire to enter into yet another European war. Pearl Harbor is a U.S. naval base near Honolulu that was attacked by the Japanese forces on December 7, 1941. Just before 8 a.m. on that Sunday morning, hundreds of Japanese fighter planes descended on the base, where they managed to destroy or damage nearly 20 American naval vessels, including 8 battleships, and over 300 airplanes. Over 2,400 Americans died in that attack, and another 1,000 were wounded. The attack on Pearl Harbor was a surprise, but Japan and the U.S. had been edging towards war for decades. The U.S. is particularly unhappy with Japan's increasingly belligerent attitude towards China. Japan felt that the only way to solve its economic and demographic problems was to expand into its neighbor's territory and to take over its import market. To this end, Japan declared war on China in 1937. America responded to this aggression with a battery of economic sanctions and trade embargoes. We reasoned that without access to money and goods, and especially essential supplies like oil, Japan would have to rein in its expansionism. Instead, the sanctions made the Japanese more determined to stand their ground. During the months of negotiation with Tokyo, neither side would budge. It seemed that war was inevitable. Pearl Harbor, Hawaii is located near the center of the Pacific Ocean, roughly 2,000 miles from the U.S. mainland, about 4,000 miles from Japan. Therefore, no one believed that the Japanese would start a war with an attack there. Additionally, our intelligence officials were confident that any Japanese attack would take place in one of the relatively nearby European colonies of the South Pacific, like the Dutch East Indies, Singapore, or Indochina. Because we were not expecting an attack, our naval facilities at Pearl Harbor were relatively undefended. Almost the entire Pacific Fleet was moored around Ford Island in the harbor, and hundreds of airplanes were squeezed onto adjacent airfields. To the Japanese, Pearl Harbor was an irresistibly easy target. Their plan was simple: destroy the Pacific Fleet. That way, the Americans would not be able to fight back as Japan's armed forces spread across the South Pacific. About 8 a.m., the Japanese planes filled the sky over Pearl Harbor. Bombs and bullets rained onto vessels moored there. Less than 2 hours later, the surprise attack was over, and every battleship in Pearl Harbor had sustained significant damage. However, all but the Arizona and Utah were eventually salvaged and repaired. You see, the Japanese had failed to cripple the Pacific Fleet. Battleships were no longer the most important naval vessel. Aircraft carriers were, and coincidentally, all the Pacific Fleet's carriers were away that day. Some had returned to the mainland, others were delivering planes to Midway and Wake Island. Moreover, the Pearl Harbor assault had left the base's most vital onshore facilities, oil storage depots, repair shops, shipyards, and submarine docks, intact. President Franklin Roosevelt appeared before a joint session of Congress the next day. He said, "Yesterday, December 7, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by the naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. War was declared against Japan, and after that, Japan's allies, Germany and Italy." After the Pearl Harbor attack, the American people were united in their determination to go to war. The Japanese had wanted to goad us into an agreement to lift the economic sanctions against them. Instead, they found themselves in a global conflict that ultimately resulted in Japan's first occupation ever by a foreign power. It should be noted that the attack on Pearl Harbor was only one step in a larger plan to dominate the Pacific, which entailed knocking out first American, then British naval opposition. Japanese bombing destroyed our airfields at Clark and Iba airfields in the Philippines, wiping out more than half of the U.S. aircraft dedicated to the Far East. These bombing raids were followed up on December 10th by 2,000 Japanese troops that landed in the Philippine Islands off Luzon in the north and another 2,000 that landed at Vigan. Guam was also captured. President Roosevelt's firm stand against Japan gave them an abundance of opportunity to stop their aggression, but they felt they could beat us, so war occurred. Today, President Trump is confronting Russia, China, and Iran. All are hostile dictatorships with plans to grow their turf and their power. It's clear that yielding to despots always brings evil. Fully resisting their efforts can maintain peace, but not always. This is a good time for us to be strengthening our military, because the question our enemies will ask before starting a war is, can they beat us? We need the clear answer to be, no. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You are listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom now with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Colonel, one of the most iconic aircraft of the Cold War was the SR-71, nicknamed the Blackbird because it was painted an almost black dark blue, which acted as camouflage against the night sky. The SR-71 was designed for flight at over Mach 3 and still holds the world's record for the fastest air-breathing manned aircraft. In fact, the standard evasive action for a surface-to-air missile was to simply accelerate and outfly the missile. Today, all the SR-71 aircraft are now retired and can be found in a handful of museums around the country. Lockheed's Skunk Works division, which originally developed the SR-71, is now working with the Pentagon on a new SR-72 hypersonic drone, which will be designed to travel at Mach 6, twice as fast as the SR-71. A drone or an unmanned spy platform traveling at hypersonic speeds would better enable air vehicles to rapidly enter and exit enemy territory and send back relevant imagery without being detected by enemy radar. Although potential defensive uses for hypersonic weapons, interceptors, or vehicles are by no means beyond the realm of consideration, the principal effort at the moment is to engineer offensive weapons to be able to quickly destroy enemy targets at great distances. The Air Force recently awarded several developmental deals to Lockheed to expedite the prototyping of hypersonic weapons, one of which is also called the Air-Launched Rapid Response Weapon, which uses boost glide technology. A boost glide hypersonic weapon is one that flies on an upward trajectory up into the Earth's atmosphere before using the speed of its descent to hit and destroy the target. With the growth of anti-satellite weapons, anti-access or area denial tactics, and counter-stealth technologies, a high-speed aircraft could penetrate protected airspace and observe or strike a target before the enemy could detect it or intercept it. At speeds of Mach 5 and above, aerodynamic heating becomes hot enough to melt conventional metal and airframes. So engineers are looking to composites such as high-performance carbon, ceramic, and metal mixes for fabrication of critical components. Such composites have been commonly used in intercontinental ballistic missiles and the retired U.S. space shuttle. The SR-72 is following the Air Force's hypersonic roadmap for developing a hypersonic weapon by 2020 and a penetrating spy aircraft again by 2030. It's going to be interesting to see some of these really cool new aircraft. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, David Horowitz will discuss some of our nation's college leaders who are supporting terrorism. Then we'll discuss the book War Torn with author Dr. Jeff Wilson. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for crunchies. Let's do 50, then stand at ease.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military, continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence. Classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's-granting public college in the South. The Citadel. Online. On your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
LuLaRoe is comfortable, affordable fashion for women, men, and kids. Sold by tens of thousands of small business owners across the U.S., including many military families. Founded by entrepreneurs seeking a career that allows more freedom to be at home with their families, LuLaRoe is sold at in-home pop-up parties and on social media VIP pages. Check out a sampling of the unique prints and patterns in dresses, tops, leggings, and skirts at LuLaRoe.com and follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest.
USA Radio News.
A contentious conversation at the White House.
Not good border security, I won't take it.
It is very good border
security. And if it's not good border security, I won't take it.
It's what the
border... Because when you look at these numbers of the effectiveness of our border security, and when you look at the job that we're doing with our military...
You just said it is effective.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, you just said it's
effective. Without a wall, these are only areas where you have the walls.
We want to do this.
Where you have walls, Chuck, it's effective. Where you don't have walls, it is not effective.
Yeah. Let's call a halt to this. We've come in here as the first branch of government.
President Trump meeting with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer at the White House. In regards to a government shutdown, the president also said,
I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck.
Google CEO Sundar Pichai is testifying on Capitol Hill. Earlier, he said that protecting user data and privacy is Google's top priority. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take?
fish oil, or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a pleasure to welcome David Horowitz to the show. The David Horowitz Freedom Center, founded in 1988, is a non-for-profit organization in California. Their mission is to defend free societies like America and Israel, which are under attack by totalitarians, both religious and secular, domestic and foreign. A very worthy mission, in my not very humble opinion. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, David.
Well, thank you.
David, tell us your background. How did you suddenly find yourself wanting to and then founding your center?
Oh, well, you know, I was raised by communists in the Cold War, and I was very intellectual. Unlike most of my comrades on the left, I was one of the founders of the New Left. I actually read books. So I had a lot of troubling questions as I went along, and none of my leftist friends were inclined to answer. In fact, they called me counter-revolutionary for asking them. And you can see that with today's leftists. They make no bones about it. They just shut down anybody who disagrees with them. You can't speak at all. And I was very disturbed by what I knew about the Soviet Union because I had read Trotsky and I had read a lot of books on the Russian Revolution. So I knew that communism was bad. And I couldn't get anybody on the left to consider what we might do to make it better. They didn't want to hear such questions. Anyway, in the early 70s, I raised a lot of money to buy a church. I was introduced, I should preface this, to the Black Panther Party leaders, Huey Newton in particular, by a Hollywood producer. And I raised a lot of money and bought a Baptist church that had been overtaken by Oakland's inner city and gave it to the Panthers. And stupidly, I believed our propaganda, which was that the government was very hostile to radicals. And I had created a 501c3, which is a tax-exempt foundation, to run this school. And I thought if the books weren't kept, the racist government would shut it down, which was proved to be ridiculous. So I recruited. I was editing the largest magazine of the New Left at the time, Ramparts. And I recruited my bookkeeper, Betty Van Patter, who was 42 at the time and had three children, to do the bookkeeping for the school. And she was a much more naive leftist than I was, and she just didn't realize. I didn't know that they were gangsters, and I certainly didn't know that they had killed a lot of people. I believed our propaganda. You know, they were attacked by the government because they were uppity blacks. Anyway, in December 1984, Betty disappeared, and by the time the police fished her body out of San Francisco Bay, I knew the Panthers had killed her. That was the end of my career in the left, and it happened to coincide with the success of the left in forcing America to retreat from the Vietnam War, whereupon the communists proceeded to slaughter 2.5 million people. And the leftists, who had always claimed to care about the Vietnamese, could care less when they were being slaughtered by communists, because the new left were communists. And I know I'll shock people if I say this, but they've all moved into the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party today, I would call them neo-communists, but I don't see any difference in the politics of the Democratic Party and my parents' politics as card-carrying communists. So that's my little saga. And I dedicated myself to warning people how malicious and malevolent and dangerous the left was. And when I see people who are brought up like I was in the communist movement, like Barack Obama or Valerie Jarrett or David Axelrod, all the people around Obama, or Bernie Sanders for that matter, who have never renounced communism, never renounced the movement they were a part of, I know they're still part of it.
Well, that's a reasonable conclusion. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing terrorism, well, we're going to get to that, terrorism advocates on our college campuses with David Horowitz. David, I've worked with college students for years, and I'd say that more or less accepted rule for that generation is that we definitely want freedom of speech for all but exclude hate speech. And that sounds good, except hate speech means anything I disagree with.
Exactly. So you can't exclude hate speech. Hate crimes are totalitarian crimes. A crime is a crime. If you kill somebody, you're a murderer. Doesn't matter why you did it.
This is
or why you think you did it. It's common sense, but we've lost that in this country.
Yes.
You have to understand about our universities is that they were over a 40 or 50 year period starting in the 1970s. They've been taken over by, I think the accurate term is neo-communists. We have neo-fascists and neo-conservatives. They don't talk quite the same language, but social justice is communism.
Well, I keep running into students who are taught what to think, not how to think. Is that part of what you're talking about?
They've taken over the universities. They've purged conservatives. They're as rare as unicorns. I just had this experience at Dartmouth. I went to Dartmouth. I had to pay my own way, whereas Linda Sarsour, who's an anti-American, pro-terrorist, Jew-hating piece of work, the head of the Mother's March or something, she was invited by Dartmouth and paid $10,000. But I had to raise my own money. I got there. The left organized a circus inside my speech that was supported by the security people, the high administration officials, the director of safety and security. So I might as well not have gone, except I met some nice conservative kids while I was there. I asked them, how many conservative professors or Republican professors can you name? And they said one or two. The one or two was because the second one was a libertarian.
Okay.
So you can go through 4 years at Dartmouth and never encounter a conservative. This is a communist training center. Of course, it's a recruitment center for the Democratic Party because you'll fit in very well with the Octavia Cortez's and all these other Muslim Brotherhood candidates from the Midwest. What's wrong with the Midwest? You know, the worst new leftists all came out of Flint and Chicago, the terrorist groups. I don't get it. But anyway, that's just the reality of what happened.
Okay.
So now what the kids told me was that the teacher, it's this bad. The teacher who teaches the course, the history course at Dartmouth, and this is a $75,000 a year school, in Cold War history, is a pro-Soviet Marxist. So when you take Cold War history at Dartmouth, you learn that America was the bad guy.
Whoa.
Sorry to ruin some people's day out there, but I just have to report what I see.
Yes. You know, if you'll just tell the truth without working other things into it, life gets a whole lot cleaner and better for everybody. David, one of the things we're going to talk about, we're about to take a break, but one of the things we're going to talk about when we come back is some college professors who are advocating terrorism on campus today. And this group I think we're going to focus on is the Students for Justice in Palestine. So
correct.
I suspect you know more than a little bit about that, and that's what we're coming back to. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. It's push-up time, troops. I want you to do 103 push-ups. I'm the leader. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. David and I will be right back. United American Patriots wants to spread the message of hope across the United States by providing service members that have been wrongfully accused of war crimes during overseas tours and combat area deployments with civilian attorneys at no cost to themselves or their families, to support them until they're released, and to get these heroes back to where they belong with their families. Check UnitedPatriots.org. That's UnitedPatriots.org.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can be a battle in itself. The USO provides ways for all of us to support our wounded warriors. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives.
Mike Hewitt here. From perseverance, rugged individualism, and self-reliance, to the state of being coddled, offended at the drop of a hat, and reliant, all in the historical measure of the blink of an eye. But how they do that so quickly and why? And what's more important, can it be undone? What's waiting at the end of the tracks? Is there something better for a cultured, gender-neutral society? An economic system driven by entitlement rather than how much was earned? Think about it. In 2018, a song from 1944, Baby It's Cold Outside, caused a public stir, while many rise to angrily defend a girl who thinks she's a boy with seemingly greater rights than a coach and the entire sports team. Where does it stop? Can it be stopped? Folks, should it be stopped? Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with David Horowitz about the U.S. college professors and now their advocation of terrorism. David, there are, I guess, because you found them, college professors in major colleges that literally stand up for terrorists. Talk about that.
Well, there's a lot of them. The problem here is this student organization. It was founded by a Hamas operative named Hatem Batsian. Hamas is a designated terrorist group. It's sworn the obliteration of the state of Israel and the extermination of its Jews in so many words in its charter. These are people that fire hundreds of rockets that are inaccurate. So they're not military rockets because they can't hone in on a military target. So you just fire them at random into schoolyards and civilian areas, hoping to kill as many Jews as they can. That's what Hamas is. This Hamas operative, Hatem Batsian, is a professor at the University of California, Berkeley. And he's the head, of course, of the Islamophobia Studies Program. Islamophobia is a term that was coined by the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the fountainhead of Islamic terrorism globally, to silence anybody who, you know, the little boy said the emperor has no clothes. You point to these groups and say they're terrorists. They call you an Islamophobe. Actually, Students for Justice in Palestine, although it was created by Hamas, it's not a Muslim group. Muslim Students Association is a Muslim Brotherhood group. And the Muslim Brotherhood created Hamas, created Students for Justice in Palestine, and created the Muslim Students Association. So they're a big presence on our campuses. And because Students for Justice in Palestine is a diverse group, shall we say, since it includes non-Muslims, it even includes idiot Jews. I'm allowed to say that because I'm a Jew. What's happened is that the entire campus left is behind these groups. Israel is the number one target of our young people on college campuses. All this group does, it's funded, Hamas gives it $100,000 a year, but orchestrate all of its political activity is directed towards advancing Hamas political agendas. Terrorism is violence and intimidation in the service of a political end. So every terrorist group has to have a political arm. For the Irish Republican Army, that was the army, the IRA. The political party was Sinn Féin, which was a political party, but their politics were support for the IRA. It's the same thing here. And their big agenda is the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement and resolutions, which are designed to strangle a Jewish state through boycotts. One big characteristic, and let me say, the report we put out is about university presidents that support this. There are, I think, 200 campuses on which SJP is active on, and they're all the SJP chapters are funded by funds taxed from the students, by student fees. And whenever I organize a protest, the university administration denounces me and calls me all kinds of names. So it's pretty serious and bad. And nobody's reporting this. That's also very serious and bad. You're not going to read this in the Washington Post or the New York Times or whatever your paper is in Grand Rapids. They're not going to report this. But we've documented it. It's been documented actually in congressional testimony. So there's no uncertainty about it. These are terrorists, and they have no business on college campuses. Nope, they certainly shouldn't be funded by the universities.
Absolutely true, sir.
If they want to go out and make noise, I have no objection, but they shouldn't have the support of our universities.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing what's going on some of our college campuses. Well, I agree with you. I'm a retired Army colonel. I've defended with my life their right to speak freely. But it's another thing when the government endorses hate speech and beyond hate speech, advocation of murdering people.
I have a magazine, frontpagemag.com. And its motto is, inside every progressive is a totalitarian screaming to get out. That's the problem. These people are such hypocrites. They pretend to be free speech, but they're not. Young America's Foundation just won a suit against the University of California. They won $70,000 because they obstructed conservative speakers. I happen to be one of them. I've been barred twice. Well, they told me I could come to Berkeley to speak. This is what weasels they are. But I would have to speak at 1 o'clock, which is when afternoon classes begin. I would have to speak a mile off campus. And we could advertise my speech, but we couldn't tell people where it was. And I said, this was a conversation I had with the vice president for student affairs and the head of campus police. I said, surely you're joking. It's like the Soviet Union. I can't think of a better way to describe it.
And you're
I feel like I'm going behind the Iron Curtain every time I go to a university.
And you've said there are a number of college campuses where the presidents have supported, openly supported.
Everywhere. Look, they hold these national conferences. This last one was at UCLA. We finally managed to have a strong force protesting it and actually calling them terrorists, which has been a campaign of mine for decades. But there was one at the University of Houston, endorsed and praised by the university president, where they chanted. They had it all organized. They had one person would say, she would go at Horowitz, and the chorus would chant off our campus. And then Zionists, they're all Jew haters, Zionists off our campus. It was pretty frightening. We put up posters at George Mason University, which is in Virginia, in the Washington, D.C. area. And they arrested the guy I sent to put up the posters. This is free speech, mind you. And they arrested him and cuffed him and kept him in jail for 14 hours and threatened him with 5 years in jail. This guy, his name is Oleg Abashian. He happened to be a Soviet dissident. And when he was in the Soviet Union, the KGB used to harass him for gathering signatures on a petition to free Andrei Sakharov. He said, but they never arrested him like this. That's America now. The hour is very late.
David, you've delivered quite a challenge. How can listeners plug into you, get in touch with you, learn more about what you do? How can they do that?
I have a website at frontpagebank.com, and I've written a 9-volume series called Black Book of the American Left, and you can see it all my writings at blackbookoftheamericanleft.com, and get sample chapters. I did a book last year, which was a New York Times bestseller, even though it New York Times wouldn't review it, called A Big Agenda, Trump's Plan to Save America. It came out the day he was inaugurated. And what the book is, it's really a book about the Democratic Party and what's happened to it. The most frightening thing in America is the Democratic Party. I think anybody who watched the Kavanaugh hearings can see, and I hate it when conservatives call them liberals. They don't believe in due process. They don't believe in innocence until proven guilty. That's the way it used to be in the Soviet Union, guilt by accusation. And I've written a book on tactics called Take No Prisoners, but you can find it all at Black Book of the American Left or frontpagemagazine.com.
David, thank you. Thank you for what you've just shared. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your great love of freedom. I appreciate you, and I hope to have you back on the show to continue this conversation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Now it's time for our Stand Tall Troop Report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty and we get to honor this fine troop. This time it's a crew. Coast Guard crews returned 4 mariners to shore after their sailboat was demasted in a storm over 100 miles off Cape Lookout, North Carolina. The crew of the sailboat had departed Annapolis, Maryland, and were headed to Miami to deliver the boat when they encountered heavy winds and seas. Rescue Coordination Center Norfolk received a satellite emergency distress notification after dark. Later that evening, an Air Station Elizabeth City HC-130 Hercules airplane crew located the 55-foot sailboat and contacted the crew by radio. The men did not report any injuries, but the boat's mast was broken and the steering gear was damaged. The Coast Guard cutter Escanaba reached them the next day, and the cutter's crew assessed the damage and rendered assistance. They took the 4 men aboard and headed back toward North Carolina. Quote, I'm especially proud of the professionalism and performance of the entire crew of Escanaba to successfully locate and rescue these 4 mariners, said Captain Michael Turdo, the commanding officer of the Escanaba. So stand tall, each and every member of the crew of the Cutter Escanaba. Frontlines of Freedom and our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. Start the second hour talking with Dr. Jeff Wilson. He's published a book entitled War Torn. Then I'll shoot the bull with former Air Force intelligence guy Jason Mulder. Then Jack Grubbs will discuss a great leader, Maggie Dixon, the late West Point women's basketball coach. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, it's beautiful outside. Go out and run a couple of miles of wind sprints. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Thirty-six days after landing in one of the world's most dangerous places, U.S. Marine Corporal Jake Schick's life changed forever.
Yeah, I was severely wounded in Iraq, conducted combat operations in the Sunni Triangle in 2004.
His Humvee hit a landmine. Within 2 days, he was back in the United States for the first of nearly 50 surgeries.
Once I got back here, my real battle started.
Jake lost a leg and sustained traumatic brain injury. He spent 18 months in hospitals with family right beside him.
You need your family. You need your support system. You know, you need people like the Fisher House.
Fisher House. It's a home away from home for families of wounded warriors and veterans receiving treatment at no cost to families.
Just very thankful to the Fisher House for what they did for my family that entire time and for the things they continue to do.
You can help by making Fisher House your charity of choice on your CFC pledge form.
Fisher House, they were always there, so that was cool.
The CFC, Fisher House, and you. Find out how you can make a difference at fisherhouse.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Things got a bit heated today at the White House when President Trump, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer sat down to discuss funding for our government and the border wall. Nancy Pelosi was not happy that the TV cameras were rolling.
The House we can get passed very easily,
okay,
and we do.
But
the problem is the Senate, because we need 10 Democrats to vote,
no,
and
no,
they won't
the
vote.
That's not the point, Mr. President. The point is that there are equities to be weighed. And we're here to have a conversation in a prayerful way, so I don't think we should have a debate in front of the press on this.
And regarding funding the government, the president said quite simply,
I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck.
North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper is telling folks in his state to sit tight and be patient. Weather is still not cooperating there, and at least three people have died from an early winter storm that dropped almost 2 feet of snow in his state. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline. Are you on Medicare and/or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 888-998-7225. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com.
The CEO of Google goes before a panel of lawmakers, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the results from Washington.
90% of all internet searches go through Google. That is power.
and it comes with responsibility.
Republican House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy there also concerned that the social media giant may be stifling conservative voices. Sundar Pichai denying that and saying protecting user data and privacy has been Google's top priority.
We've invested an enormous amount of work over the years to bring choice, transparency, and control to our users. These values are built into every product we make.
First Lady Melania Trump is helping the Marine Corps make Christmas cards as part of the Toys for Tots program.
Their mission to send messages of hope to children and motivate them to grow into responsible and patriotic citizens and community leaders is so important to our society.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0720.